Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Granta Raja Shima Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Goprem Anandi. Are the lectures getting uploaded on the...
Sorry?
Lectures, are they getting uploaded on the...
Yeah, they're getting uploaded on our website, has changed. So, people, devotees won't be able to access it through our website. And then, we need to do that. Either we create a new website or if you can create a link somehow on the new website for the website.
Melbourne has a new website? Mm-hmm. What's it called? So what's happening with all the previous lectures and
the classes are all there in the background. But it's just the front end to access the classes has changed.
So what do we do?
So they are still in the process of completing it. Once that's completed, we'll get a link for the area where we can showcase those classes.
Realistically, how long would that be? Because devotees are, they're saying they haven't heard the lectures, so they're trying to keep up like every second.
I'm using the website. I seem to be able to see up till 5th of July.
Yeah.
There's a website from audio.iscon.net.au, and that has all your classes start beginning from Chapter 3.
Yeah, but then what happens at July the 5th? Because now...
After that, it's probably not uploaded
yet.
That's 3 weeks. Since July the 5th, that means the last 3 weeks.
If that's uploaded, I reckon it will reflect here. It should.
And then the 15th chapter, it's uploaded. 15th chapter, 26th verse.
So everything's there except for two classes. Then. So just look on the website.
Yeah, I've been listening from that.
Yeah, but then they're saying up until chapter 15 is there.
That goes back to July 5th.
July 5th.
Yes.
No, 16. 16 is only last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only last week.
It's last week's not there.
Yeah.
Okay. So you just got to upload it, that's all. Okay. Okay. Oh, no problem. Okay. So tonight, we'll finish chapter 16. What is chapter 16 called? Yeah, seduce the serpent Kaliya. And then, tomorrow night we'll do an overview of chapters 9 to 16 in preparation for the exam. The exam is next Tuesday between 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock. When are you due?
4 weeks.
4 weeks, okay. So you can keep coming. When you're in hospital, you can just listen on the live. Okay, so tonight we'll go from verses 41. Up until 67. Obeisances unto you, who are time itself, the shelter of time and the witness of time in all its phases. You are the universe and also its separate observer. You are its creator and also the totality of all its causes. So who is speaking here? No, not Kaliya. Yeah, Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya. So these are the prayers which are offered. Kaliya has been chastised by Krishna. The wives of Kaliya, they are seeing a change in...
Which was?
41?
41.
Yeah. Chapter 16, 41. So 41 to 67. So the wives have seen a change in Kaliya, and because Kaliya has become humiliated by Krishna, he's become pushed down. He's become chastised by Krishna. They see a change in his consciousness. So because there's a change in the consciousness of Kaliya, then they begin to offer prayers. And they're saying to Krishna, please spare Kaliya. So now the Nagapatnis are offering prayers. So they're glorifying Krishna, his supreme position. They have a realization of Krishna as being the supreme personality of Godhead. So the 10th canto, he's being established as the supreme person, but the Brijbasis do not see him like that. You don't see any of the Brijbasis praying to Krishna. You don't see Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, the Gopis, the Sakas. They don't pray like this to Krishna. They don't offer these kind of prayers. So the Nagapatnis, they're seeing that he is the supreme personality of Godhead. So they're praying to him in very exalted prayers, recognizing his Aishwarya. So the first prayer is saying that Krishna is not controlled by time or space. He's beyond the influence of time because he is the creator of time. So when Krishna comes in this world, Krishna is not controlled by time and he's not controlled by space. It means that Krishna is beyond the jurisdiction of any of the laws of material energy. When he comes into this material world, describes just like a spider is going across the web. So the spider goes across the web, but he doesn't get caught in the web. He's the creator of the web. So Krishna being the creator of this material world, when he comes into the material world, he doesn't become affected by the material energy. He's not controlled by the material energy. So time does not bind him. Space does not bind him. He just does whatever he wants as he likes. And actually, when Krishna comes in the material world, the spiritual world comes with him. So Krishna never directly contacts the inferior material energy. Text 42 and 43. Obeisances unto you, who are the ultimate soul of the physical elements, of the subtle basis of perception, of the senses, of the vital air of life, and of the mind, intelligence, and consciousness. By your arrangement, the infinitesimal spirit souls falsely identify with the three modes of material nature, and their perception of their own true self thus becomes clouded. We offer our obeisances unto you, the unlimited Supreme Lord, the supremely subtle one, the omniscient personality of Godhead, who are always fixed in unchanging transcendence, who sanction the opposing views of different philosophies, and who are the power upholding expressed ideas and the words that express them. So basically they are saying that Krishna is one with this material world, but he's also different from it. It is his energy, but he remains separate. So what do we call this philosophy? Very good. Achincha Beda Beda Tattva. He is one with everything because it comes from him, but he is different from it altogether. He confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that the material energy is resting upon him, but it is not directly... Yeah, it means that they're emanating from him, but he is not under the influence of the energies. So you see that when Krishna comes into this material world, he's always separate from it. So it's an important point to understand. The devotees understand this point. Other people don't understand. They can't understand how God relates to this world. No, they can't understand the correlation. But the devotees, they understand. The Vaishnavas understand. Particularly Lord Chaitanya's followers. They have the most clear understanding. And even the devotees in ISKCON have the most clear understanding of how everything connects Krishna and the material energy. Yeah. Are they self-realized? They're very advanced. Very advanced devotees, yeah.
Because once the consciousness of Kaliya is, how did it affect the Nagapatnis, and therefore they have started this phase?
How did his consciousness affect them?
Yeah, because they have started... actually, these are all their prayers to paying?
Because they're devotees. The Nagapatnis are devotees, and Kali is not a devotee. But then when he becomes chastised, then he becomes a devotee again. We offer our obeisances again and again to you, who are the basis of all authoritative evidence, who are the author and ultimate source of the revealed scriptures, and who have manifested yourself in those Vedic literatures encouraging sense gratification, as well as in those encouraging renunciation of the material world. Yes, Casey, you want to read that?
If we did not have the powers of perception and cognition, evidence would not be transmitted. And if we had no tendency to believe in the most of evidence, association could not take place. All of this process, perception, cognition, association, and transmission, take place through the various potencies of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord Krishna is himself the greatest scholar and intelligent being. He manifests the transcendental scriptures within the hearts of great devotees like Brahma and Narada. In addition, he incarnates as Vedavyas, the compiler of all Vedic knowledge. With multifarious ways, the Lord generates a variety of religious scriptures which gradually bring the conditioned souls to the various ways of and reiterate the kingdom of God.
What are the points there?
He's a doer.
Anything else? So the philosophy of the Vedas is meant to lead us towards one point, to lead us back to realization of Krishna. So the most perfect scripture within the Vedic literatures is what? The Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. So the whole point of the Bhagavatam is to reveal Krishna, or to bring us back to Krishna. So that's what is being said in this verse. By studying the Vedas, you understand the absolute truth. So by studying the Srimad Bhagavatam in particular, we understand the absolute truth is Krishna still Bhagavan Swayam. He is the original cause of all causes. So the Nagapatnis are praying like this, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. They're identifying his position. But it is not the mood of the Brijvasis. You won't see. Because you'll see in the next few chapters, not far from here, the gopis also will offer verses in praise of Krishna. But it's not like this. The mood is very different. It's very much Aishwarya. Instead of Madhurya Bhakti. It is very much the mood of awe and reverence towards Krishna, as opposed to the Brijbasi's mood. Brijbasi's mood is just, it is mood of sweetness. It is devoid of awe and reverence. So it is much more exalted. So we'll see that as this pastime unfolds. Any points? We offer our obeisances to Lord Krishna and Lord Ram, the sons of Vasudev, and to Lord Pradyumna and Lord Aniruddha. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the master of all the saintly devotees of Vishnu. So Brahma Samhita says, Advaitam, Ajutam, Anadya, Anantarupa. Anantarupa means he has unlimited forms, and each form is unlimited. So he has unlimited potency. So here the Nagapatnis are saying, you have so many forms. You have Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Vasudev, like that. So he's a Sankarsana. So it means there's so many unlimited forms. So they're identifying that Krishna is the origin of all the other forms. And there are so many forms that Krishna is the origin. That is the purport, especially at the 10th canto. Krishna is. Everything else is just emanating from Krishna. He is the origin of all others. But you don't hear the Brijvasis speaking like this. Brijvasis don't say, you are the origin of everything. They don't say like that. They don't meditate on him in that way. They meditate on him in terms of their Stahi Bhav. What is a Stahi Bhav? Stahi means permanent. Means not moving. Bhav means? Bhav means like emotion. So what is the permanent emotion of the Brijvasis? They have permanent feeling towards Krishna in one of the higher rasas. So because they have that permanent feeling towards Krishna, they cannot see him in the mood of or in reverence. They don't see him like that. So therefore you won't hear the Brijvasis praying to Krishna in this kind of mood. Because their mood is completely different. So Nagapatnis are they're offering prayers like this. And if you go to Vrindavan, you go to Kaliya Ghat, Kaliya Hrata, that place where Kaliya jumps off, the tree is there. And you see just next to it there's a little temple, you know, in the Ghat, and the temple has the Nagapatnis. So the Nagapatnis are there. You can go and you can respect them. There's a little deity of Krishna. Krishna is dancing on Kaliya, Krishna Kaliya. And then he is surrounded by the Nagapatnis, they're offering prayers. But their mood is awe and reverence. Not like the mood of the Brijvasis. You'll see that in the next several chapters. Obeisances to you, O Lord, who manifest varieties of material and spiritual qualities. You disguise yourself with the material qualities, and yet the functioning of those same material qualities ultimately reveals your existence. You stand apart from the material qualities as a witness and can be fully known only by your devotees. Uddhava Bandhu Prabhu.
Lord Krishna conveys to various meanings three basic qualities of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Excellent qualities manifest because of piety and spiritual achievement. For the internal senses, such as the mind and intelligence, the word Pradipaya means unto him who manifests all the demons. Thus, here the Nagapatnis are addressing the Supreme Lord as he who manifests all material and spiritual qualities and who causes the living entities to be conscious. One can see the Lord by going beyond the screen of material nature, and therefore he is called Gunatma Sadhanaya. If one methodically and intelligently studies the functioning of the material qualities, he will ultimately conclude that there is a supreme personality of Godhead and that he exhibits his illusory potency to bewilder those who do not surrender unto him. The Lord is never affected by the force of nature, being their witness, and thus he is called Guna instead. The word Swa indicate one's own. And thus, Swa Samvidhe means that Lord Krishna can be known only by his own people, the devotees. And also that ultimately only the Lord can know himself perfectly. Therefore, we should take Lord Krishna's instructions in all of you and immediately come to the right conclusion. Full surrender to the Lord's lotus feet. And we should humbly glorify the Lord following the example of Nagapati.
What points are there? So it's being said here that because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everyone is bewildered by him. He bewilders everyone, but he is not bewildered by anyone. So that is his supreme position. The Krishna bewilders even Lord Shiva, even Lord Brahma, even Lord Balaram. So he's showing his supreme position. The only person who understands Krishna properly is a devotee who is beyond the modes of material nature. As long as you're attached or covered by the material modes of nature, the gunas, you cannot understand Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says in chapter 14 in the Bhagavad Gita, and what is the famous verse? Yeah. So then if you are performing devotional service affected by the material modes of nature, you cannot understand Krishna fully. So Krishna is only understood when you become, when you come to the platform of Shuddha Sattva. And what does Shuddha Sattva mean? Pure goodness means uncontaminated. When you are uncontaminated in your consciousness, you understand Krishna. And then you understand his supreme position. But as long as you're contaminated, you can't understand Krishna fully. So that is our defect. That's why our bhakti is not fully manifesting. Because we're still attached to the modes of material nature. And as long as you're still attached, then you can't fully understand Krishna. Because he is beyond the modes of nature. So only when you are beyond the modes of nature, you can also understand his position. So any points?
We should go beyond the material nature, as you say, but how about Lord Krishna said in the 15th chapter, Sarva Dharma Parisajya Mahi Sarva.
Which verse 47? O Lord Hrishikesh, master of the senses, please let us know our obeisance. Please let us offer our obeisances unto you, whose pastimes are inconceivably glorious. Your existence can be inferred from the necessity for a creator and revealer of all cosmic manifestations, but although your devotees can understand you in this way, to the non-devotees you remain silent, absorbed in self-satisfaction. Obeisances unto you who know the destination of all things, superior and inferior, and who are the presiding regulator of all that be. You are distinct from the universal creation, and yet you are the basis upon which the illusion of material creation evolves, and also the witness of this illusion. Indeed, you are the root cause of the entire world.
The words Bala and Avara indicate superior, subtle elements and the inferior, gross ones. The word also indicate superior personalities, devotees of the Lord, and inferior personalities who are unaware of the glories of God. Lord Krishna knows the destiny of all superior and inferior entities, animate and inanimate, and as the supreme absolute truth, he remains in his unique position above everything, as indicated by the word Sarvadhyakshaya. Sarvadhyakshaya.
Good. Any points? Okay. So, Krishna works through his agents. He does not directly contact the material energy. And therefore, when dealing with us, he works through his empowered representatives, so the demigods or Paramatma, like that. So it's not directly that Krishna is... reciprocating with the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls are reciprocated with, according to their bhakti, with these different energies, just like the material energy, Durga, then she is reciprocating with us. And when we become devotees, it is Krishna's expansion, like Narayan or like Paramatma, who directly reciprocates. And only when you come to the platform of pure devotional service does Krishna directly reciprocate with you. Therefore, Prabhupada says, even when you're worshipping Radha Balabha, even though that's Radha Krishna, the Vrindavan form of Krishna, but Prabhupada explains to us that Narayan, who is within, and Lakshmi, then they accept our worship and reciprocate, because we're still on the platform of rules and regulations. So you only begin to worship Krishna when you come to the platform of spontaneity, when you come to the platform of bhava, of prema. That's when Krishna actually becomes manifest. So he's just dealing with us through his agents at this point in time. Just like if you want to meet someone very, very, very important, you have to go through the agents, you have to go through the representatives. You may not get to see the person for many, many meetings. You can't just go to the head of the corporation. It's not easy to get to Krishna. So we have to go through different personalities, and then gradually then Krishna reciprocates himself. Any points? Okay. Oh, Almighty Lord, although you have no reason to become involved in material activity, still you act through your eternal potency of time to arrange for the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this universe. You do this by awakening the distinct functions of each of the modes of nature, which before the creation lie dormant. Simply by your glance, you perfectly execute all these activities of cosmic control in a sporting mood. Sri Chaitanya.
Skeptics may question why the Supreme Lord has created the material world, which is full of birth, maintenance, and death. Here, the Nagapatnis point out that the Lord's pastimes are amoka, beyond any discrepancy. Sri Krishna actually desires that all conditioned souls live with him in his eternal kingdom. But those forgetful souls who are inimical to their loving relationship with God must go to the material world and be subjected to the conditions of time. The fortunate conditioned souls are straddled into remembrance of their actual position as loving servants of the Lord. And from within the heart of heart, the Lord then encourages them to come back home, back to Godhead, where time is conspicuous by its absence, and where eternal blissful existence supersedes the dramatic but disturbing functions of cosmic creation and annihilation.
What are those points?
Yes, all the creation and maintenance is done for the purpose so that all the living entities are attracted and go back to God.
Yeah.
And also that
So why does Krishna make our life difficult in this material world? Hands up if your life is difficult in this material world. Oh God. Nearly all of you. So why is it difficult? Because Krishna, this is the way that he extricates us from the material energy. And actually I read recently, Prabhupada said, unless the devotee goes through hellish suffering, you cannot give up the material energy. So it is necessary for each one of us to go through hellish suffering. Hands up if you've gone through hellish suffering. Okay, one person said they have. So it means the rest of you, it is coming for you. Yes, at least you've accepted the fact. It will arrive. You have to go through hellish suffering. And then when you go through hellish suffering, then you will become detached. And actually, Prabhupada points out that just like Kaliya, he's been kicked by Krishna. And actually, in a few verses from now, the Nagapatnis, they say, please be merciful to him. And Krishna says, it doesn't say here in the Bhagavatam, but Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna says to the Nagapatnis, I just have to kick him 7 or 8 more times. Right? And then he'll be fully purified. Right? He's been kicked, he's nearly purified, but he just needs 7 or 8 more kicks. Right? And then he'll be probably be dead. And at that point, then he'll be cleansed. Right? So Prabhupada said, you have to go through hellish suffering. And sometimes at the end of our life, we have to go through that complete suffering to fully renounce attachment to the body. So it will happen gradually to all of us. And Krishna knows how much to give and how much not to give. according to what you need. So he'll give you the right amount. He'll give you enough or less according to your necessity to become detached from this world. So that is his mercy. And when we become advanced, we accept that as his mercy. Suffering is Krishna's mercy. So, any points?
Even after he does the
no. He had to be kicked many times. Yeah. But we have also touched Krishna's lotus feet in the form of the deity, but we still need to be kicked more times.
So why does it say time is conspicuous by its absence? Isn't there time in the
spiritual time? It means you don't have the debilitating effects of time that you have in this world. No one gets old, no one dies. Time is there, but the time is not destroying things. Whereas in the material world, you know, every day you grow up, you get older, and yeah. But up there, I mean, there's time. Like sun goes up, sun goes down. Moon comes up, moon goes down. It says every day in the spiritual world, it's a full moon. So you know, it's the same every day, just comes up. So there's Ashtakaliya Lila. So it means time is operating. But it does not destroy. That's the difference. Anything else?
I thought the sun and the moon is only
the what?
The sun and the moon.
No, no, in spiritual.
Yeah. I thought it destroyed it, but it's not really.
No. You will see when you go there. You'll see the moon come up, and you'll say, I remember I was in the Bhaktivedanta class. And they said there would be a moon, and it is true. And sun is there every day. It says in Brahma Samhita that sun and moon are not necessary, but they are there. Okay. Therefore, all material bodies throughout the three worlds, those that are peaceful in the mode of goodness, those that are agitated in the mode of passion, and those that are foolish in the mode of ignorance, all are your creation. Still, those living entities whose bodies are in the mode of goodness are especially dear to you, and it is to maintain them and protect their religious principles that you are now present on the earth. So it says that when the creation is finished, we go back into the body of Mahavishnu. And after you go back into the body of Mahavishnu, when the creation comes again, you come out and you take up the same position that you had when you... So if your next body was to be a giraffe, then you become a giraffe. So your karma is all stored like a seed in your consciousness, and then when you come out, everything is there again. So you take up from the same position that you had previously. So that is the position in the material world. So here it is saying that Krishna remembers all the desires and he fulfills all of your desires. Supasol Paramatma. He understands everything. According to what you desired previously, then you will take up from that. So it is hyper-intelligence. It's the most powerful type of intelligence. Impossible to keep track of all these things. At least once a master should tolerate an offense committed by his child or subject. O supreme, peaceful soul, you should therefore forgive our foolish husband who did not understand who you are. Janeshwar.
Because of the extreme misery in this book, Kaliya's wife mentioned the same Kaliya twice, that the Supreme Lord should kindly forgive their foolish husband. The Supreme Lord is Sanatana, the Supreme Peaceful Soul, and therefore the Nagas have been suggested by Prabhupada for him to overlook at least this one. This great offense committed by ignorance.
So what are the points there? Yeah. That is the duty of the wife. To keep the husband on track.
That's right.
That's right. So it is mentioned that when someone is peaceful, they will be forgiving. So they're praying to Krishna and say, "You're very peaceful." Because when someone is angry, when you're angry, you don't like to forgive someone. You see, Krishna is described previously as being angry while he's dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. He's angry. So he's not in a forgiving mood, not in a peaceful mood. So they say, "You are the peaceful Lord." And they pray to him like that, so that they're praying to him because they think that if we put him in a peaceful mood, then he will forgive our husband. So they're trying to lower his mood. So Krishna, he changes his mood, because when someone is praying before you, then you become compassionate. You soften, even if you're very angry. If someone becomes very humble, then you say, okay. And you begin to calm down. You know, especially if a woman begins to cry and do all these things, you say, okay. So Krishna, he sees the Nagapatnis, they become very submissive, and then he says, okay, then I will forgive. He changes his mood. O Supreme Lord, please be merciful. It is proper for the saintly to feel compassion when women like us, for women like us. This serpent is about to give up his life. Please give us back our husband, who is our life and soul. So Krishna gives everyone exactly what they need. So, according to Kaliya's mood, now that he is becoming submissive, now Krishna is going to change towards him. Up until now, Krishna has been just giving him thunder. Krishna has been dancing on his hoods. But as he dances, Kaliya feels like lightning bolts are striking on his head. So Krishna actually had this personal desire. Because some devotees may ask, why did Krishna go and dance on the heads of Kaliya like that? Actually, he had the desire to do it. Because Krishna likes to dance. He's known as Nataraj. Nataraj means the Lord of Dance. He's the most beautiful of all the dancers. And then he imagined himself, he knew Kaliya was there on the Jamuna. So he thought himself, I'd like to dance. And then he thought, it'd be very nice if I dance on his hoods. Because you can imagine like his hoods are coming up and down. So as they're coming up and down, I can dance at different heights. I can move around. So it was like a personal desire that Krishna had. He wanted to chastise him and all these things. But he had his own desire simultaneously. His desire, I just want to dance on his hoods. Because then everyone will see, especially the gopis will see, how beautifully I can dance. And if I dance on his hoods, it will look magnificent. So it was like a personal desire for Krishna. So it gave him the opportunity to fulfill his desire. So he became angry simultaneously and smashed Kaliya. Now please tell us, your maidservants, what we should do. Certainly anyone who faithfully executes your order is automatically freed from all fear. So, Leela Maya, you want to read them?
The surrender of Kaliya's wife was now complete, and Lord Krishna immediately gave them his mercy, as described in the following verses.
So what is in that purport? Yes. Yeah. What does Krishna say to Arjuna? Surrender unto me, that's his final instruction. But you see in the second chapter of the Gita, Krishna doesn't speak until the 11th verse, Asochanam Vasochastvam. So until Arjuna says, Shishastiham Sadhimam Tvam Prapanam, until Arjuna says, now I'm surrendered unto you, please instruct me, then Krishna doesn't say anything. Krishna doesn't speak. In the second verse he does of the second chapter, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, it says Krishna speaks, but he doesn't instruct. So Krishna is not reciprocating with Kaliya or with the Nagapatnis until he sees the mood is correct. So same with all of us. When you are ready, Krishna reciprocates. If you're not ready, Krishna cannot reciprocate. Same as Guru. Guru wants to reciprocate with you, but if you're not ready, what can he do? He may want to give you instructions, but if you're not ready to receive the instructions, what can he say? Even my Guru Maharaj, one time, you know, we were in Sydney with him, and then the devotee asked a question. There's maybe about 40 of us in the room, darshan, maybe more. So everyone was there, so many devotees there. And one devotee asked a question, and he said, it's like a young devotee asked the question. He said, you may not understand what I'm about to say, but some of them will. He said, but you listen anyway. And in the future, maybe you'll understand. So maybe we're not ready to receive what the guru wants to give you. But when you're ready, then the guru will give you the instructions. So Kaliya, now he's ready. Now the Nagapat, now Krishna will reciprocate. Up until now, he's showing a different mood. But when you become submissive, then Krishna will reciprocate. Shukadeva Goswami said, thus praised by the Nagapatnis, the Supreme Personality of God, who have released the serpent Kaliya, who had fallen unconscious, his head battered by the striking of the Lord's lotus feet. So, Paya, you want to read them?
According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Krishna, upon reaching this decision, immediately jumped down from Kaliya's hooves and stood before the serpent and his wife. You should remember that when Lord Krishna executed his pastimes, he was just a young village boy in India.
Well, any points there?
The devotee is known. Lord Krishna is given that he is looking very strong.
Yeah, he comes down. When they say, when the mood changes, then Krishna comes down off his hoods and he stands before them. Just like an ordinary village boy. So Krishna reciprocating with them. And that's the point. Krishna will be very nice. Krishna is very peaceful and he's very happy by nature. He's blissful by nature. And he just wants to reciprocate like that, to every devotee. But if you're not ready to reciprocate with Krishna, then Krishna will have to chastise you. So sometimes we think, why does Krishna give me such a hard time? Or sometimes we think, why does the guru give me such a hard time? Or sometimes we think, why do the devotees give me such a hard time? Why are they always getting on my case? Because there's something wrong in your consciousness, needs to be rectified. The guru just wants to be blissful. He just wants to reciprocate. My Guru Maharaj said the last time he came to Australia, before he left this world, he said, I just want to have loving dealings with everyone. Because his guru has to chastise, that's the duty. But the guru doesn't want to be like that. Even one time my Guru Maharaj said to me, he said, actually I don't want to speak to you like this, but I must tell you, and then he chastised me. So guru does not, even Prabhupada said, I do not want to chastise you, because I know you do not like it. But it is my duty, so therefore. So when we are ready, then Krishna reciprocates. So Krishna doesn't want to dance on his hooves. He doesn't want to smash him on the head. But that's the only way Krishna can reciprocate with him. Because he is demoniac, so Krishna has to deal with him accordingly. And when he's rectified, then Krishna will deal the right way. So now Krishna gets off his hoods. Krishna will come down. And now Krishna will just speak to him in a very sweet way. But up until now, Krishna cannot speak like that. Because Kaliya is angry. So when he becomes humble, then he says, okay, now we can talk. Any points? Ah. What did you say?
Nice to know that he's always happy and peaceful.
What do you think he is like? Prabhupada said he is always blissful. Always blissful. Kaliya slowly regained his vital force and sensory functions. Then, breathing loudly and painfully, the poor serpent addressed Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in humble submission. The serpent Kaliya said, "Our very birth as a snake has made us envious, ignorant, and constantly angry. O my Lord, it is so difficult for people to give up their conditioned nature, by which they identify with that which is unreal." It's quite a famous verse. You recognize this verse? It's quite famous. Not that song. Meenakshi, you want to read them? So any points there? So it is pointed out by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur that when you become attached to that which is impermanent, then you suffer. So what is the cause of our suffering in this material world? Hands up if you are suffering in this material world. What is the reason? Because we're attached to things which are impermanent. So that will cause you suffering. That's the nature of the material energy. You have to suffer. You cannot blame Krishna that you are suffering, because you're attached to the material energy. And as long as you're attached to the material energy, you will suffer. That's the nature. It is being said here, Kali is saying, you cannot blame me, because I'm envious, ignorant, and constantly angry. So because of our previous activities, we take birth in a particular body, and that particular body makes us act in a particular way. And then we act in a particular way, and Kaliya says it's very hard to change your nature in this world. Right? All of us are conditioned heavily. And Kaliya says this in the next few verses, very hard to give up your conditioning. The only way you can give up your conditioning, you have to transcend it. You have to enter into your spiritual form, your spiritual body, your spiritual consciousness, which is very advanced realization. Then you can give up attachment. It becomes like a coconut. You know when the coconut is ripe, right? And then in the inside it detaches, and when you shake it, you can hear it. So that's what, like, when you become self-realized, Prabhupada said, what is that book? They brought out the BBT, Prabhupada's book, The Science of Self-Realization. So Prabhupada says in that book, self-realization and God-realization happen simultaneously. So when you fully realize Krishna and you develop love for Krishna, you become self-realized. And what does it mean when you're self-realized? It means that you become like the coconut. When he's ripe, then he's on the inside, he's detached. So you're living in this body, but you've detached from that body. In other words, you've entered into your spiritual form. And you relate to that form. So you're in this world, you're talking to everyone. Even Prabhupada himself said, Srila Prabhupada said, you think I'm in Los Angeles, but actually I'm in Vrindavan. So what Prabhupada was saying, that he looked like he was in this world, but actually he was in the spiritual world with Krishna. And in 1977, the devotees asked Prabhupada to stay. And Prabhupada said, I will ask Krishna. And he closed his eyes and then he came back 3 or 4 minutes later. He said, Krishna has left the decision up to me. So Prabhupada directly spoke to Krishna. Because he was not attached to that material body. So that's how you become detached from this material world. Then you don't have to worry about your conditioned nature. Otherwise, very hard to give up your conditioning. Any points? Okay. O Supreme Creator, it is you who generate this universe composed of the variegated arrangement of the material modes. And in the process, you manifest various kinds of personalities and species, varieties of sensory and physical strength, and varieties of mothers and fathers with variegated mentalities and forms. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, among all the species within your material creation, we serpents are by nature always enraged. Being thus deluded by your illusory energy, which is very difficult to give up, how can we possibly give it up on our own? Chaitanya Leela.
Kali is here indirectly begging for the Lord's mercy, realizing that on his own he can never become free from illusion and suffering. Only by surrendering to the Lord and obtaining his mercy can one be released from the painful condition of material life.
So what are the points there? How does it play an important role? You can't leave the material world. So what is being said in this verse? We need help. If we don't receive help, we can't get out of the material energy. It is only by Krishna delivering us that we will escape. Otherwise, you'll stay in the material world forever. Very difficult to transcend this material energy. So actually, it is only possible when Krishna assists us. So Krishna is waiting to see our attitude change. And when the attitude is correct, then Krishna will deliver us from the clutches of Maya. So we need help. So devotees always pray like that. Prabhupada says in this song book of the Vaishnavacharyas, Prabhupada says the whole process of Krishna consciousness, you keep association with pure devotees and you pray to the previous acharyas. So that's what we're doing now. We're associating with pure devotees. Pure devotees means devotees who are sincere. And it doesn't mean like paramahamsas, because there's none walking around. So it means sincere devotees. So associate with pure devotees and pray to the previous acharyas. And that's how we get delivered from the material world. So unless you get Krishna's mercy in these forms of devotees and acharyas, then you can't go back to Krishna. What's that? Always remember Krishna. O Lord, since you are omniscient, the omniscient Lord of the universe, you are the actual cause of freedom from illusion. Please arrange for us whatever you consider proper, whether it be mercy or punishment. Shukadeva Goswami said, after hearing Kaliya's words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was acting the role of a human being, replied, O serpent, you may not remain here any longer. Go back to the ocean immediately, accompanied by your retinue of children, wives, other relatives, and friends. Let this river be enjoyed by the cows and the humans. So the cows are very dear to Krishna and the Vaishnavas, the devotees. So Krishna says to Kaliya, you need to go now. Because if you stay here, everyone will be very frightened. Even though you're not envious anymore, but still, your form is frightening. This serpent is so powerful. Like we said last week, you know, you keep a snake here, very hard for everyone to concentrate on the class. Even if he's in a box, but you know he's there. Very hard for everyone. You had a big snake wrapped up there in the box, and everyone, it'd be very hard to concentrate. Just like you go to India, you know they have the snake charmers. They pull up the basket, and the cobra comes up. So, you know, many years ago, I was walking through Loy Bazaar, and one little boy, he came up to me, and he nudged me like this, and he had a basket, and he went like this. Yeah, he's right next to me like this, right next to me, and he lifts up like that. And I look down, there's like a cobra. And I just thought, oh, God. Yeah. I'm walking down Lopez, and I'm just in my mind, you know, I'm acting like I'm very calm. But in my head, I'm thinking, my God, there's like a cobra right, like this close, like right next to me. And the boy keeps nudging me like this, you know, like, you know, he's saying like, you know, Das Rupi, Das Rupi, he's going like this, you know. He's holding a cobra. Yeah, so I'm just trying to act like I'm totally, you know, my mind is, you know, just thinking, oh my God, you know, the cobra just like jumps up and goes. But then I thought to myself, wait a minute, the cobra doesn't have any fangs. I take the fangs out. So then my mind became more peaceful. I said, it's okay. Still, you know, your consciousness is just fixed on the, like that. So even though Kali has changed, but Krishna said, okay, you have to leave now. Because if you stay here, everyone's going to be disturbed. So they said, you have to leave Vrindavan. Let the cows be happy, let the devotees be happy. If a mortal being attentively remembers my command to you to leave Vrindavan and go to the ocean and narrates this account at sunrise and sunset, he will never be afraid of you. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, if you chant this verse in Sanskrit, you will never be bitten by a snake. Do you want to chant? Okay. Ye tat sam smarin marchas tu bhyammat anushasanam kirtiyanu bayo sandyur nayushmad bayam apnuyat. I told my wife that today, I was preparing the class, she was in the next room, I went and I said, if you read this verse, you'll never become bitten by the snake. So she said, okay, give me the book. Okay. So it says, if you read this verse. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, commentary. If one bathes in this place of my pastimes and offers the waters of this lake to the demigods and other worshipable personalities, or if someone observes a fast and duly worships and remembers me, he is sure to become free from all sinful reactions. So wherever Krishna performs a lila, that place becomes sacred. So now you can go to Vrindavan and you can go to that same place where this pastime took place, Kaliya Ghat. The tree is there, and like it says, you can fast, you can remember Krishna, you can do special worship, and you'll get unlimited benefit. But the most important thing is that you remember Krishna's pastimes. So you go there and you recount this pastime of how Krishna fought with Kaliya, and by doing that there, then you become supremely purified. Out of fear of Garuda, you left Ramanaka Island and came to take shelter of this lake. But because you are now marked with my footprints, Garuda, would no longer try to eat you. So he's sending back to the ocean, to Ramanaka, which is? Fiji. Yeah, out there. Where are we? That's east, right? Okay, so it's up that direction. So if you go out that way, maybe about 3,000 kilometers or so. Only takes about 3 or 4 hours to fly to Fiji. It's not far, just out that way. Kali is still living there, under the island. And Jai Sachi Prabhu, my god brother, he grew up in Fiji. There's a story, all the villagers say there's a big snake living under the island. And he told me the fishermen, the old fishermen, the old men, they're fishing there for years. They said sometimes at night, a big boat comes in, with a big jewel on its head. Like jewels, like Kali's got these hoods like jewels. So something comes in from the dark in the ocean, like a big ship, but actually it's Kaliya. Because it comes in and then goes under the island. Like that, and all the waves go like that. So he's still living there, up under the island in Fiji. The old people say that sometimes, nighttime, he swims in and then he goes under. So he's still there. And there's a story that he's somewhere deep in the island, in the mountains, underneath, in the caves you go in. They say he's living there. So that's his island, Ramanaka. Yeah, in Lotoka. Have you been there? Yeah, you got the beautiful deity of Krishna Kaliya. In Lotoka.
So Nanapati is also acting. His wife is also acting in the Vrindavan.
Are they living there?
So Nanapati is also acting in the Vrindavan island as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Because snakes are not very pleasant, so. Krishna says, take your wives, take your kids, get all the snakes out of you. You'll go. Yeah, the whole family. They're all living up. If one bathes in this place of my pastimes, I read that already. 64. Shukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, having been released by Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose activities are wonderful, Kaliya joined his wives in worshipping him with great joy and reverence. So his offense was forgiven because of his wives, because they were devotees. So what's the purport? The purport is that if the devotees pray for you, then Krishna will bless you. That's our whole philosophy. If the devotees think favorably towards you, you advance in Krishna consciousness. If the devotees don't think favorably about you, you don't advance. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, do not cause pain in the heart of the Vaishnavas. Never make the devotees feel painful in their heart. Because if you do that, then you get the reaction. You'll never get to Krishna. You have to be very careful how you do. Kaliya worshipped the Lord of the universe by offering him fine garments along with necklaces, jewels and other valuable ornaments, wonderful scents and ointments, and a large garland of lotus flowers. Having thus pleased the Lord, whose flag is marked with the emblem of Garuda, Kaliya felt satisfied. Receiving the Lord's permission to leave, Kaliya circumambulated him and offered him obeisances. Then, taking his wives, friends and children, he went to his island in the sea. The very moment Kaliya left, the Jamuna was immediately restored to her original condition, free from poison and full of nectarian water. This happened by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was manifesting in human-like form to enjoy his pastimes. So it says that Kaliya, he said to Krishna, I want to offer sandalwood pulp on your body to cool you down. Okay, you've been fighting with me for all this time. And so Krishna said, okay. So Krishna sat down on the throne, and Kaliya and his wives, they put sandalwood pulp on the body of Krishna. And then Kaliya said, now offer him a garland, offer him jewels. So they went to their jewelry, like where they kept all their jewels. And Krishna's favorite jewel is called? Kostuva Mani. Huh? What does it have on it? Huh? What is imprinted on the jewel? A cow. It's like a cow imprinted on there. So while Krishna was fighting, the jewel fell out, dropped into the water, and fell into where they keep all their jewels. So then, Kali's wives, they went and they picked it up, and they thought, oh, here's a nice jewel, and they offered it to Krishna. So they got the opportunity. So it says in the pastime, the Kostuba jewel was given to Krishna at this time. It actually always existed. But these pastimes are there. So they picked it up and they offered it to Krishna. And then Kaliya, he was sent out over to Fiji. He's still living out there. But Vishnu Chakra Thakur says this pastime happens in every universe, in every kalpa. Like whenever Krishna comes, it happens again and again and again. So he sent Kaliya to Fiji, but in other kalpas, other pastimes, Kaliya stays in Vrindavan, keeps living the Jamuna, but stops poisoning everything. And then when Krishna goes to Mathura, in this pastime we'll hear later on, Akrura comes and picks Krishna up on the chariot, and then, but in other kalpas, Krishna goes down to the Jamuna, jumps on Kaliya, and he rides up the Jamuna to Mathura. And then he jumps off, and then he goes and kills Kamsa. So Kaliya's like his speedboat. He goes through the river, swims up the river, like that. Very powerful. So Krishna, sometimes he sends him away, but sometimes he keeps him there to enjoy. Because Kaliya actually says, your carrier is Garuda. Garuda is my cousin. He said, but I want to carry you sometimes. So then Krishna says, okay, just wait there. I'll come to later on. He comes, jumps on him, and they go up the Jamuna together. Shri Krishna Kaliya ki. Jai. Shri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan ki.